You're listening to Beyond the Pipe with Chris Morgan and Sean Ring.
So, bummer news, dude. I am shorter than a dwarf.
Mm-hmm. I actually knew that.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. Dwalin the Dwarf was in my shop. Graham McTavish. And I had to stand on my extra little platform of my insulated portion of my shop to
Graham McTavish
be eye level with him because, you know, I'm short.
And he has an oddly English accent, too, which is weird. You know,
he kind of does.
Some real rich, like Sean Connery stuff. But no, not like all. That. He's very, very British sounding.
Yeah. So for those of you that have not seen on social media or anything, I recently made a pipe for Graham McTavish, who was Dwalin the Dwarf. He was also in, he had a major role in Outlander. He was in The Witcher series, I think second season. He was the priest dude in Lucifer. He's been in so much stuff. He's got his own series. So that was a really cool experience. A good buddy of mine here is producing a movie that he is starring in. And they're going to be filming it locally here and might have a chance to be an extra. Not really sure. That might be kind of fun. But he wanted me to make him a pipe just as a gift. But then I thought, okay, well, he's going to be a Montana rancher. Maybe I'll make him something simple and classic that he possibly could move use in the movie if he wanted to. So that was cool. But Graham is 6'2".
Yeah, he's big.
He's a really tall. It's really kind of amazing to think about how they can make things look in movies. They make it look like Gandalf was freaking huge. And I know he's tall, but I don't think he's that tall.
He's not that tall. I mean, I think he's probably shorter than Graham.
Probably.
But they what they did was they just gave him really big shoes and really messed with the clothing proportions, and they just look like dwarves.
That makes sense. If you look back at the all the dwarves in there, they're all wearing fairly baggy clothes. And I know a lot of it's they're wearing their furs and armor and stuff like that. But still, I never thought about how the proportions of what their clothes were made like could make it look like they were a little bit shorter, I guess.
It tripped me out also how they showed Bilbo next to all them, because the actor, I forget his name exactly, he's about the same size. He's not exceptionally tall, but he's not really that short.
Really?
He's a petite looking guy, but he's not he's probably 5'8", probably an average height.
That's what I'm at.
But they show him in the same scenes as all the dwarves, which really is weird. And a lot of that's probably CGI.
Well, it could be, or at least green screened and then put in. And film is crazy, man, what they're able to do. And think about how well done the Lord of the Rings series was and the Hobbits were and how old they are.
Yeah. I mean,
they were so good.
All the Hobbits. No, sorry. I watched all the Hobbits and then I watched all the Lord of the Rings. So 6 movies. And let's just say they're 3 hours? Oh, no, I watched the extended cut.
Oh, geez.
So some of them are 4 hours. So 20, 23, 24 hours of movies.
I've actually never seen the director's or the extended editions. I never saw the point.
It's a lot of added scenes. You're like, oh, I didn't see that last time. And they're unnecessary. That's why the director's cut. But
okay.
I did that in anticipation for possibly having a conversation with Graham. And I know he's on a tight schedule, but
now they were here in a very limited amount of time. I was hoping to be able to get him on the podcast. And honestly, if the timing was different, he probably would have. He was a super nice dude. He was very interested in what I was doing. He was just kind of amazed that somebody can make a living making pipes, which I'm still amazed by that all the time, which is That's crazy.
Generally the amazement. I get that all the time too. Wow, you can do that? You just make something, you sell it. And in this day and age too, and this is something I've been thinking about too, in this day and age, people really discount the monetization of like certain businesses, right? So if you wanted to think, like, if you're, let's just say you're like a teenager, you're like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And you're like, think of all of the things that people need and then figure out how to do those things. Like literally anything. There are people out there, like there's a dude in the community, buttons for your britches. This dude makes casted parts for like Civil War reenactments. You know, like buttons and dongles and stuff, and like certain pieces for Civil War outfits and stuff. He's also branched off into tampers, right? This guy is making tampers out of, you know, like you could pick anything. There are people that make like Ming Kahuna. That's all the guy does is make tampers, you know, and that fills a void and people buy that and you can live off of that. I don't know how well you can live off of it, but I mean, there's all kinds of weird, like I met a guy one time, Sean, and this is a little bit of a tangent. He got paid to move dirt. Like he would take the, like someone wants a swimming pool. He would dig the swimming pool, take the dirt and get paid to do that. And then he would go to a golf course and dump it and build a new berm for a golf course, you know, renovation. And he got paid on both sides. He didn't own it.
Well, it's like when people need trees chopped down, they can chop down the tree. Chances are they either get to sell that wood or use it themselves.
Always keep the wood. If you have the, like if it's a healthy tree, always keep the wood. In fact, pay them a little extra to cut it up the way you want. Like I had a walnut tree cut down and I paid him like an extra 100, 200 bucks to have him slab it on site with a chainsaw. And then I painted it in the, what do you call that? The, it's like a waxy paint to keep it from cracking. And I just put it aside. Cool. I have it here. And I'm one of these days I'll plane it down and make like a cutting board or a table or whatever I'm going to make out of it. But going
new shop going, doors.
They're not that big. That'd be so cool. But you know, people discount that all the time. Like I get that constantly, like, oh, pipe smoking's still a thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's still a thing. We were talking about anime before we hopped on. I didn't know anime was a thing. Like people discount everything. Niche businesses are usually some of the most profitable. Not for pipe making, obviously, but niche businesses can be extremely profitable for people because you're only like one of maybe 100 people in the world that are doing it. There's some people that are like one of 5 people in the world doing what they do.
I mean, we have a lot of pipe makers these days, but in the grand scheme of things, we still probably only represent 5% of the amount of people who are tobacco users worldwide.
I would even say less than that.
You think so?
I think we are a percent of a percent of the world. Like,
yeah,
I think it's like, I know like in the US, I don't remember what the numbers are, but in the US, like the smoking population has dropped dramatically because you have the advent of vaping, the cannabis industry and all these things, which people have transitioned over to. Very few people smoke anymore in general.
Yeah.
Unless you go to like China has a gigantic smoking population. Most of Asia actually smokes quite heavily. And also, I would even say Europe in a lot of places, like the Eastern Europe has a lot of smoking. But because of that, I would say that we're pretty damn small. And I think it's pipe smoking as a whole is a very regional thing. Like I've seen 5 people smoking in my area.
Yeah, I've seen like 3.
In 10 years. Pipes, I'm saying, smoking pipes in my area.
Yeah, so, I've seen cigars, like 3 here.
It's crazy. But then, you know, how many people can you count that you speak to on a fairly regular basis, either through, you know, Messenger or Zoom or whatever that smoke pipes? Like, I could probably name like 100.
They're scattered. Yeah, but we have a very, like, our social media networks are honed into what we do.
True.
Yeah, and are honed into...
Dialed.
I mean, most everybody on my friends list on like Facebook is pipe smokers.
Yeah.
Or all around the world. And that's just, we've all curated our own little bubbles, and it makes it seem like our industry is a lot bigger. I think I have to remind myself that every now and then too. Like, when you get outside people that are asking, like, what do you mean? People smoke pipes? And in my head, I'm like, yeah, they're freaking everywhere. But realistically, they're everywhere on my social media.
Dude, I've got, let's see, just the diversity too, which is really interesting. So I've talked about this guy before, but there's a customer of mine who's kind of a, I don't want to call him a hermit because I feel like that's derogatory, but he's fully off grid, you know, lives on a mountaintop and all that. He smokes pipes, right? I just got an email from a guy who just bought a pipe off me, who is a Disney Imagineer. Okay. I have customers who are, I have sold pipes to U.S. Army generals before, like a few of them. I have customers that I can't even talk about because of what they do, you know, that I don't know what they do. Like, cross my heart, I have no idea what they do, but I can't say, you know, anything about them.
I mean, we,
like,
have such a diverse group of people in the pipe industry, and it's kind of amazing. Like, yeah, we have one of the best communities there is, and I feel very fortunate to be a part of it, and I'm reminded that almost daily.
Yeah.
You know, before I got into pipe smoking and pipe making, I used to restore vintage straight razors, and that's another really small niche market of people who are so passionate about collecting and the craft. And I mean, it's kind of weird because you've got all these groups and these people post videos of them shaving with a new shave soap and a new razor they got. And literally other people will just sit there and chat and watch somebody else shave their face. It's the weirdest thing, but people are into whatever they're into. And there's a lot of people who make really good money in that industry too. I mean, there's almost as many shave soaps as there are pipe tobaccos, which is crazy.
I actually was going to bring on a shave soap because when I was doing the, and I'm still doing, you know, foraging and stuff. I just haven't had time, and for me to do it, I have to have the motivation and the time.
Well, you should work with Doug Smythe. He's got Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements, and his name's Douglas Smythe.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. He's actually a pipe smoker too.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll do some work with him. I did 5 straight razors. And some of the guys out there have them. I think I kept one. Another one kind of wasn't, I just didn't like it. I didn't like the grind. And I think the other 3 sold. And they work. People shave with them, you know. But I was thinking, like, maybe I'll focus on straight razors. Dude, there are people out there that are creating, like, incredible razors. And they're very expensive. And
like, as expensive as pipes can be.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes more, really.
I saw one the other day that was like $1,200, and it was rad. Like, it was really, really, really rad. So the work you actually get, and a lot of times, in metalworking, it tends to be expensive with knives and razors and stuff. But, like, the really nice stuff is, like, far and above the pricing on pipes. Like, it's...
Oh, totally.
Crazy shit out. What the hell's his name? Liam Hoffman. Makes all this crazy, like, his one-off stuff, and it always goes for just, like, stupid amounts of money.
Yeah.
He's the guy that makes the axes.
Okay. Yeah, it's amazing to think what people are willing to pay for certain things. I mean, I was talking to a new customer of mine the other day, and he's a knife guy. He makes knives, and he's showing me all this stuff, and it's really cool, and he's like, yeah, man, I mean, I'm booked out 2 years on commissions, and whenever I go to a show, I sell 2 dozen pipe or 2 dozen knives that go for over $4,000. Like, what? Who the hell is spending that kind of money? This is crazy.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, pipes require you to be a pipe smoker, right? If you're going to buy them. But, like, what guy doesn't like knives? You access such a gigantic demographic, like,
way bigger
for SHOT Show. Even like, you, SHOT Show is freaking huge. Blade Show is freaking huge, and you got guys that are and this is the funny thing too. I was thinking about this as an oddity. If you were to go to a business convention, let's just say it's in Vegas, they probably wouldn't want you carrying weapons into the place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's safe to say. Blade Show, that's all anyone has. I mean, there's like frickin' swords and like there's guys with axes and all kinds of crazy bladed implements. And they're just walking around the show with it, flicking them out. Like it's kind of fun.
How do you travel to a show with that? I mean, do you have to just check your bag that's got $100,000 worth of knives in there? Like, that's crazy.
I don't think I would check it. I would mail it. I think I would mail it to like the hotel or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Or drive with it. I mean, what do you do for SHOT Show? You got guys bringing tons of firearms.
Well, with how much money they make, they probably just drive across the country.
I wouldn't trust any of that. Although I did hear this interesting fact, and I don't know if it's still in play, but apparently if you are flying, you can check firearms on planes, right? This was a shocker to me. I didn't know you could do that. You could actually check your sidearm. And I don't think it matters what state you're going to. I don't just mean sidearm, but if you have a shotgun or something, you can check that, which I think is kind of cool. But I heard about this hack. Let's just say you are flying domestically. I don't think it works internationally. It might. Don't quote me on it. What you do is you go get yourself a starting pistol at like a, you know, wherever, like a sporting goods store. You get a starting pistol. You know, it's basically just runs a 22 cap for like race, like for sprinters, you know, sprinting events, okay, and running, like where they're like, you know, go. You get one of those and you check that with your luggage. Your luggage is at the top level of documentation, meaning they cannot lose that luggage because it's a liability issue, because it's a firearm.
Interesting.
Right? But you can legally, in I think most states, you can legally have a starting pistol, right? There's no, I don't think there's a law against a starting pistol. It's a freaking big boy cap gun.
Yeah.
So, I was told that if you check a starting pistol with your luggage, it is like hardcore documented. Like they know exactly where that bag is at all times. It's always checked. So anyone out there flying within the states, go get yourself a starting pistol and they'll never lose your bags. Seriously.
It's a fun hack for you.
Yeah. So yeah, the community has been pretty rad. I have been blessed with a pretty solid 16 years. And I mean, it gets rocky at times. And there are certain, you know, people spread rumors and they want to start shit and all that kind of stuff. And I know people have heard stories from most pipe makers where they had to deal with some garbage. But for the most part, I don't think I've seen a more loyal community.
No, you know? Definitely not. I mean, we are so thankful for, I mean, all of you that listen to our podcast, Chris and I are just two dudes that make pipes, which is super weird in the grand scheme of things. And there's people that give a shit about listening to us chat about nothing for an hour sometimes.
I mean, we're kind of talking about nothing right now. We don't have a guest on. We do have an episode coming up with a guest, a really big guest. And that should be a good time. We already got some great names lined up. I'm super excited to talk to these guys. One of which doesn't do too many interviews, so I think it's going to be kind of exciting.
I'm very excited. I'm all stoked today because it's like, I think we're actually in spring now.
Yeah.
So here in Northwest Montana, every winter from probably the middle to end of January until about March, we have at least three fake springs.
Yeah.
Where the snow will be gone and all of a sudden you got a random like 50 degree day and it's sunny and you're just super excited. I woke up this morning, pulled all the shades, and it's just beautiful outside, not a cloud in the sky. It looked like it was 60 or 70 degrees outside, but it was only 28. Yeah. But it was still very nice.
It's been kind of cold here. We call it 60-40 weather. It's not really too cold.
Because 60 degrees is cold for you.
Well, the spread is pretty close. I don't live in Montana, dude, but you know, you also don't have to deal with like 108 degrees in the summer.
No, I mean, we do get up to 100 sometimes, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
I'm right by a gigantic lake and I think that actually regulates our temperature quite a bit too.
But I mean, you buy the lake, you need to go to the lake, Sean.
There's too many people. I don't like people in person as much.
Why don't you get yourself a nice kayak and then you can just float the river?
Yeah, I could. We're playing around with the idea of finding a piece of property on the lake that's bare that we can just like park a camper on,
yeah,
and just have our little oasis that's not hopefully going to cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah, on the lake?
Yeah.
It's got a, I mean, the property, I mean, it's a big ass lake, but
yeah, it is. Places like that are getting really hard to come by though. So
yeah,
it'll probably be way more expensive than we can afford for quite a while.
Just so you can have a beach, like your own private beach.
Yeah. I want to go to the, like when I was a kid growing up here, I mean, there was 20 different places I could go and pretty much guarantee I wasn't going to see anybody. Yeah. And now it's just not like that anymore. There's just way too many people all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, so here's what I'll do. Hang on.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the plan. I will go to a spot. I will smoke the worst tobacco I've ever had in my life and scare everybody off. And then I'll have the beach all to myself.
That's perfect. Get some 1792 out there.
Yeah.
Ugh. In fact, I could do you one better. Just take like a coffee can and punch some holes in it and put it up to the fan on a leaf blower. And light that bitch on fire and just blow 1792 all over the place. Like just fog.
It is amazing how many people actually love 1792.
It's fog the beach with that turd blend.
The turd blend. We'll just get some, yeah, it'll be bad.
I wouldn't do that. I did do a funny podcast recently called the Underdog Journey podcast. They wanted to have me on talk about more of the business aspects. They're a business based podcast. And so I talked a little bit about that. There's kind of a lot of funny stuff. They're actually shocked that I had the following necessarily, because it's more sort of the business acumen that I do, I guess, is kind of the way I would have absorbed it, with no marketing, like zero marketing. But the thing is, with marketing in a niche community, your name is everything. Like if you screw around and, don't take care of your customers, or, you come off as an asshole here and there, that stuff gets around. I mean, that's super common. And so really, I mean, we could talk about this on another episode, but if you do not provide good customer service as a niche maker of any sort, you're screwed. Like you're going nowhere.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure you can hear my air compressor that kicked on in the background. Sorry.
That's all right. It's actually not that bad.
Okay. We're in a shop, so whatever. But totally, man. But that also is one of the reasons why the pipe community is so awesome, because, you're in a position where you don't really have to advertise.
Yeah.
And so much of our industry is driven by word of mouth within our small community. Like, it's kind of crazy to think about how small things actually are on the grand scale of things, because we don't advertise really. We have people that are willing to share their experience, tell people why you should buy this certain thing. And that's amazing. I think the shave community was the same when I was in, when I was restoring straight razors. It was the same thing there. I mean, people like in our industry are fairly artistic and take very good photos. And a lot of us have, I'm terrible with photos. That's why I do videos so much on my Instagram, because I don't have to take good photos. But there's just a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And if it was used to promote and advertise on a larger scale, things would probably be gigantic. I mean, we're in a very niche market that you can't really just advertise tobacco everywhere, because most places are terrible about it.
So did you listen to the Sadhguru podcast or the Rogan podcast with Sadhguru?
I did. Yeah, it was actually pretty awesome.
I dug it, man.
Totally different concepts of just how to think, I guess. I mean, I actually ended up buying one of his books afterwards called Inner Engineering.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones that they were actually talking about in the podcast. And it was really good. Like, maybe it kind of, I've been contemplating this over the last couple of days, actually. How much meditation, like in what they were talking about in there, goes along with pipes and pipe smoking. Totally. And for me, even pipe making, like there's so many parallels with, you know, traditional meditation that actually goes into pipe smoking, and people don't even realize what they're doing. I mean, he was talking about, and he's a, I think he's Buddhist.
No, he's Indian. So he's, I'm blanking on it. It's,
I don't think he was Hindu.
No, I think he's Hindu.
Okay, maybe. Hopefully somebody out there can correct us.
Maybe
and
he has
us know.
His own thing too, because he doesn't, might. He doesn't read any of the books, which is crazy. Like he doesn't read all like the texts, you know, like of his religious beliefs. Like he's formed all these ideas on his own. And I'm just like, how is that possible? Like the guy is one of the wisest people ever.
It was one of the few episodes that it seemed Joe Rogan was kind of out of his element and couldn't
totally,
keep up.
Totally.
It was really impressive.
He didn't even know, like he was like kind of trying to argue with the guy, and the guy was like, nope. Nope.
Yeah.
What a shit.
It was pretty interesting. But one thing that stuck out to me about their conversation was how in meditation, there's different levels of, like, if you breathe a certain amount of times in a minute, you can understand how the universe works. Mm-hmm. If you breathe a certain amount of time in a minute, you can understand how animals work. Mm-hmm. And if you breathe a certain amount of times in a minute, you can, you know, unlock everything else, basically. And I got to thinking about that, like, with our smoking cadence.
Yeah.
Like, there are times when I am just in the zone, I'm making a pipe, and I will realize that I haven't drawn on my pipe in a minute or so or more. And then I realize, oh wait, I'm smoking a pipe. And then all of a sudden I can take a hit off the pipe, and then it's still lit after all that time. Like,
yeah,
that's like Zen for pipes. And I think a lot of us experience that daily, but it's never put into that context.
Well, you can have a passive draw on your pipe too. Like that's something I've noticed. If it's pretty open drilled, like you can have this passive in and out. Like you're not noticing you're doing it, but there is this, as you're breathing, there's an in and out bit of air that's keeping that ember going.
Well, and that's kind of what I do too. Like I will breathe out my nose, but then subconsciously I'm putting enough negative pressure on that, you know, on the pipe itself, that it is actually stoking that fire the whole time.
Yeah.
And I might go a couple minutes without smoking it and realize that, oh, I just need to tamp it a little bit and then it's good to go. And I think it's such a good form of meditation, but I've just never looked at it in those terms before, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Breathing is super, super important. I know that sounds stupid to say, but like most people don't realize like what breathing is. Like, what's your first fuel? Oxygen. Like before anything else, like you need oxygen more than anything. Like, what is it? They say 3 minutes without oxygen, which is bullshit. 3 minutes without air is bullshit. I actually held my breath. I did my Wim Hof every day, and today I hit 3 minutes and 5 seconds on an empty lung.
And that's crazy.
I was actually telling the Underdog Journey guys that they're like, how is that even possible? Like, how could you do that? I'm like, well, you're saturating your body with oxygen. Like if you eat like 10 cheeseburgers and then go for a hike, you're going to be able to hike probably like 20 miles before you're hungry again. You know what I mean? Like you put that in your body. They also say that with water, like do not ration water. Like if you're out in the desert, don't ration it. Ever. You never, like, and I've been in a situation where that thought crossed my mind, and one of the guys was like, don't ration it, just drink all the water you possibly can and let your body do its process to ration it for you, because your body will ration your oxygen and your air and your mineral content and your vitamins.
Yeah,
that's why like people who don't eat don't poop. Your body keeps all that shit literally in your body and doesn't want to expel it because it's still feeding off the nutrients that is in that processed food. So you have to, you know, I don't know. It just was kind of interesting though, listening to him talk, but then also being in the place, I am with all the Wim Hof stuff and the breath retention and the cold showers. And it's really, I'm picking up on a lot of really cool stuff. Like between him and Jordan Peterson, there's like this complete circle of information there.
Well, I think it's very interesting how many correlations there are between different ways of thinking and different cultures and how they all kind of go back to those same basic principles. They just talk about them in different ways.
Yeah.
And I feel like pipes are kind of just a different way of harnessing what people used to consider just a daily practice and an extremely important practice to reach inner peace, I guess.
Yeah, you need that. Stress will kill you before anything else. It just presents it in different ways. Like, you know, people are like, oh, he died of congestive heart failure. Well, he was probably super stressed out, eating a bunch of carbs and you know, got sick that way. In reality, though, you've got the practice of people eating very high cholesterol diets, all animal based, nose to tail, you know, liver, kidneys, all that crap, meat for every meal, no carbs, no sugar, no garbage. And they're some of the healthiest people on the planet. Now, we've been told for years and years and years, don't do this, don't do that. But I think pretty much anyone listening to this is probably between the age of like 25 and like maybe 65, right? It's a widespread, but all of us can remember when they had the commercials, beef, it's what's for dinner, pork, the other white meat, got milk, brought to you by the Wisconsin Cheese Farmers Union. And there's all this crap with that where they come in and they basically fuck with the way we have always done things. Now, I'm not going to say that everyone should be eating a diet of steak and potatoes and eggs every day.
And Preak. You got to have Preak in there. That's a category all on its own.
But like, really, what's to say, and I'm not making any health claims, what's to say that smoking is bad for you? Like smoking pipes? There's been studies that have been done where they're like, you know, if they don't say it, they insinuate that smokers, pipe smokers live the same amount or slightly longer than people that don't smoke on average. And it's the stress reduction. And I would pose the argument that you should listen to your body and do what your body tells you. Like personally, for me, I don't smoke pipes as much as Sean does. I don't smoke pipes as much as most people do. I find pipe smoking to be a very occasional thing for me, specifically because I react pretty poorly chemistry-wise to a lot of tobaccos. I get tongue bite like wicked fast. And I never used to before, but I do now. Same thing goes with, salads. Like a lot of people can have like a freaking salad and they're completely fine. And they're like, yeah, this was delightful and light and I feel full, but I'm not weighted down. If I eat a salad, I'm like sick for like the next 24 hours. Like I cannot digest that stuff.
You're not getting tongue bite from salads?
Unless it's like I'm eating one of those like weird rabbit food salads that like have radicchio and all the weird weeds in them,
but like, yeah, that's not actually lettuce.
I'll eat like a steak and like a giant baked potato, and I feel like a god for like 2 days. Like my nutrition is up, I feel solid, like I have energy. And I think it could be the O positive blood type thing, you know, the whole eating for your blood type. You looked into that, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's pretty fascinating, man. Like O positive specifically. Your primary food source should be beef and liver.
Huh. I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense.
But then like for my wife, I don't know. I forget what blood type she is. She can't eat like that. She doesn't process fat and everything the same way. So she'll eat like a bunch of meat and she'll feel gross. But if she eats like a salad, she feels great. And I can't eat salads, man. I can't eat raw vegetables.
Yeah. There's certain things that like fruits for me, if they're not overly ripe, my mouth like breaks out.
That's the tropical fruit thing, dude. Bananas, like, I mean, I know we're jumping all over the place here, but like I've always said, eat local and eat seasonal. And I'm not like a huge nutritionist guy. Like I had a hamburger the other day, and what I have tonight, I made chicken and dumplings, which was a mistake because the dumplings have wheat flour in them, and I tend to have like a sensitivity to that for some reason. But I did anyway because fuck it, it was delicious. The thing though with like if you get a sandwich, and I've ranted about this before, I don't know if I've done it on the podcast. If you go to a burger joint and they give you a burger in the winter and there's a tomato on that frickin' burger, you should slap that person. There's no reason why there should be a tomato on a burger in the winter. Summertime, go for it. I don't eat tomatoes. They just don't work with me. But like, put something else on it. Put a big ass slice of pickle on there, or like put something else that's crunchy and acidic, like kimchi. Throw a big gallop of kimchi on there. Like, it pisses me off.
Dude, that sounds delicious. Actually,
I would totally kill that. Or sauerkraut, or I don't know, pickled veggies. Like, put some pickled cauliflower or something. I don't know. Find something to put on it. But like, a fucking tomato is out of season. It's not even. It's not pickled. It's not processed. It's a slice of like emaciated white flesh tomato. It's not good. Don't eat that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. So back to the stress reducing and how.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I get pissed off about it, man. It's such a stupid practice. Like, oh, I live in an area where oranges grow all winter. I guess I'll go eat some tomatoes. I'll get some fucking apples. No, there's oranges that literally grow all over where you live. This is my place now. This is like my city. Every couple of houses, there's a gigantic orange tree full of oranges, and everyone's eating bananas. Bananas don't even grow here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They're not even native to the area. Eat some fucking oranges.
Yeah.
Sorry. I get pissed about this stuff because we haven't learned as a culture. I'm tying it back in. We haven't learned as a culture to do what we've always done. Like, we should just be doing what we've always done. Like, oh, look, I have an apple tree at my house. I'm going to eat some of these apples, and then I'm going to make applesauce and freeze it, or I'm going to do something else with it so I can have it in the winter, you know, or just the simple fact of going to the grocery store and buying stuff that's like within 100 miles of you. And I'm not a farm to table hipster kind of guy at all. I just think that there's a reason why it grows where you live. Oranges in the winter. Who would have thought? Vitamin C. Anyway. There's my rant for this episode. I get so frustrated.
Chris's
about
rant number 2 of 3, I'm assuming.
Do you really, seriously, this is a question for you, Sean. Do you really think that the beef industry needs to advertise to sell beef?
Like, no.
The milk industry needs to advertise to sell. No, they're doing this because it changes the way people consume. Like,
well, with milk, I mean, you promote milk because of how many different processed shitty foods go with milk.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
And I'm sure there's a lot to it. And I know I'm talking out of my ass about half of this, but I just like it goes back to the whole tobacco thing. Who is to tell you that smoking a pipe is bad for your health? You know, I know people that eat nothing but vegan foods, like 100% vegan. I know raw vegans, and maybe it works for some of them, and maybe for others, they're poisoning their body. You should take things on a personal basis, you know?
Well, I think with pipes and tobacco, I think it actually goes back to what that Rogan podcast was talking about with a Sadhguru guy. He was saying that what the problem is with modern society is that people are always always in the pursuit of happiness,
yeah,
not being happy. And I feel like, I mean, that's the stress that's killing people, is that our entire society is built around the pursuit of happiness. And his thoughts on that are, you got to figure out a way to just be happy instead. Be content. Be thrilled with where you are. Be grateful that you are alive and the miracle of that, instead of this pursuit of, you know, having the next best thing, keeping up with the Joneses, all this kind of stuff. And I think pipes actually do that, and we don't even really realize it, because when you're like halfway through a bowl and it's awesome, mm-hmm, and you're firing on all cylinders because, you know, the tamping's just right, the lighting's just right, everything's, yeah, good, you're no longer in the pursuit of happiness. In that moment, you're there. And I think that plays a big role in the stress reduction. It's that you've shut off the pursuit of happiness because you're there.
Yeah. And we experience it every day with everything. Like, you should always live in a manner where you are infatuated with what you have. And I think too many people are always looking towards that next thing. I'm guilty of it constantly. I'm like, man, you know, if I
can, I'm totally guilty of that.
Like, get a little bit more money, I could get this thing or whatever. And I've noticed, and this is something I've learned recently, low time preference forces you to enjoy what you have. And there was actually a Jordan Peterson quote, and this will help out a lot of, specifically a lot of dads. Moms are pre-wired to just like constantly love every goo-goo and gaga and first steps. And well, maybe first steps is a bad example, but everything that kids do, they're naturally wired to do it. And I don't care if you call me sexist for that, because that's just the way it is chemically, scientifically. That's the science. Men have a harder time with this, especially men that are workers. And when I say workers, I mean like guys that love their job, like love their career, that are constantly working, specifically even more so with guys that work from home, right? You're around your kids all the time, but you're still trying to like bring in the bread. You're trying to make sure everything's happy at home and everyone's got their stuff taken care of. And you don't necessarily pay attention to your kids as much as you should. At least it hit me very specifically. Jordan Peterson has this feed that I had heard in real time. Well, I shouldn't say real time, but like in the original format that he presented it. And it basically, it kind of goes like this. Like you only have little kids for 4 years. And once you, if you miss that, it's gone forever. Like you, having a 6-year-old is different than having a 3-year-old, you know? That amount of time that they're learning and developing and all that kind of stuff, you want to be present for that. And even if it doesn't have an effect on them always, which it usually does, it will have an effect on you. It kind of solidifies your position in the universe, right? So you're here to take care of this little, you know, ankle biter, and it's your job to make sure that they grow up to be better than you. Like you never, I mean, throughout history, no one has ever said like, I want my kids to have a shittier life than I did. No one says that. They always say they want more. And the thing is, at the point that we're at, we're not in like Dust Bowl territory. We're not in Great Depression territory. We're not living in, you know, Bosnia in the 90s. Like we're living in a pretty good place, most of us, right? If you have a moment to sit down and have a pipe and listen to a podcast on probably your $1,000 phone, you're in a good place. You're not starving. You can probably like, you know, take a nap in the middle of the day, you know, like once a month, whatever. Like you're doing okay. You should be able to apply that to like, you know, seeing the beauty in the blossoming of your kid, you know. And I it kind of shocked me. I was sitting here and I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw this pop up and I was like, I've heard this before. And I listened to it again. I was like, I took out my AirPods because I normally have those suckers in all day doing Voxer, doing phone calls, you know, work stuff. And I popped them out and I put my phone down and I just went and like sat with my kid because it like had such an effect on me. Like you, once you get past that, like my daughter's almost 5 years old. Like a lot of you even remember when I put up the announcement on Instagram that I was having a kid, and that's already boom, gone. 5 years old, done. I get a second chance with my younger one. It just, I don't know, something I want to talk about. It kind of hit me in a weird fashion, but you should always live in the moment. And being smoking a pipe and having that sweet spot in the middle of the bowl or whatever, wherever that point is, for me, it's usually like the end of the bowl, like maybe, you know, 7 to 9/10 of the bowl. That's the point at where you're just like, everything in the universe is complete and happy and safe and warm and all the great things that people, you know, get as human beings. Like you feel that and you're vibing and then boom, it gets ashy and you want to go back to that point. It's a little bit like chasing the dragon, you know, but we should always be or strive to be in that, not the pursuit of happiness, because you'll never stop. You're never, ever going to stop.
Well, it's more about being here now.
But yeah, exactly. You're, and that's what the Wim Hof breathing thing is. The people, you know, whenever, like when you asked me about it, or when, you know, the podcast that I was on, the Underdog Journey guys asked me about it, I was like, dude, it's when you're in that moment, that's 3 minutes of your life. Like, you can hold your breath for 3 minutes. Like, you just need to go somewhere else with it. You need to go deep and, mm-hmm. and feel your body, like be in yourself. And no one does that anymore. That's why you ground. That's why you stand in the sunlight and just feel that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or real passionate smoke today. A lovely bowl of Escudo, because it'll hit all those cylinders.
It's just good place to be, man. It makes you a happier person. It lowers your blood pressure. Again, not medical advice, but I'm just saying, like, I'd be in a much different place, I think, in my life without pipes.
Totally. Yeah. So the moral of this story is smoke your pipe, enjoy the hell out of it, and be thrilled that you are one of the few people that actually get to sit and enjoy a pipe without having to worry about everything else for, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah. And don't eat tomatoes in the winter.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry. That's just one of my quirks, man. It pisses me off.
That's totally cool. So anyway, everybody, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And if you have questions, please email them to us at beyondthepipe1@gmail.com. It's beyondthepipe1@gmail.com. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.